here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHA. I could keep going higher.
You could. You're going to be at a screech soon.
FA or any of them there, guys. The opinions expressed on the show are ours.
And ours alone.
And ours alone, because no one else would claim them.
No.
For sure. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Mark M.
And it's another man show.
It is.
There's no one here but us guys.
It's okay.
So ladies, prepare to be offended.
We
probably not.
We get to talk about our favorite topic. Ourselves.
Oh, I was going to say women?
Ourselves.
Oh.
Okay, our two favorite topics.
Yeah, our two favorite topics. So what's... We heard last time about your trip over to Vegas. Mm-hmm. See, what is Vegas like when you go there for something other than gambling?
Gambling and drinking?
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, I went there for the hockey because there were hockey games on Friday and Saturday. And we went there to go watch the Kings play. And you know, and my sister and I, we go to the games all year, but we don't usually get to go do a whole lot of things together because...
Right.
She's busy, I'm busy. And we had a blast. We went and we drove up, which driving for 3.5 hours in the car with my sister and her ADHD is a whole lot of fun. She was by Barstow, she was ready to jump out the window, but
nice.
You know, so we drove up and got up there and had lunch and just hung out. I went and took a nap because when we had rooms right across the hall from each other, so
when we went for what was technically my friend James's bachelor party.
Uh-huh.
I sat and watched James and our friend Lee.
Uh-huh.
I'm watching them play these, and they're playing slot machines, right? They're playing dollar slot machines. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking. I watch Lee drop about $300. Mm-hmm. I watch James drop about $400. Mm-hmm. And I was only watching them for like 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. Then they make some back. And I'm like, they're like, so what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to take the money that I would have gambled with you guys. And I don't know, go see a Blue Man show or something. You know, it's like, uh-huh. I just watch you guys between the two of you drop $700.
Yeah, well.
Well, and the funny thing, though, mm-hmm. we're talking about taking James's son. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to... because his 21st birthday happened right at the same time as this. And, you know, we're going to get him his first drink. We're going to take him to a strip club. Mm-hmm. They end up picking, I don't even know the name of the strip club. It was that bad. It was
really?
A hole-in-the-wall strip club where, you know.
You know some of the best strip clubs in the U.S. are in Vegas. How do you pick a hole-in-the-wall strip club?
Well, and that's, well, you know why? Because they spent all their money gambling. You know, because I'm looking, I'm like, you guys want to bring him here? Now, to him, he didn't care. His girls getting naked. You know,
girls,
it's all
yeah.
good for him. But I'm like, isn't like, what's the big one? Isn't Cheetahs or something like that? Or
yeah, Cheetahs. Spearmint Rhino's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Spearmint yeah. Rhino's huge there. Fantasy. What's the other one? God, there's one there that's...
yeah, big names.
Yeah. yeah.
Really hot women, all that.
Yep.
And... You know, and these girls...
I haven't been to them, mind you. I've just heard about them.
Yeah, I am sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. These women were... actually, last time I went to a strip club, I went with you.
Where'd we go?
We went to some place in San Diego. They were having
a
cigar event
cigar thing.
With ribeye steaks.
That's right. Steak, stogies, and strippers.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we weren't
that's
really...
what an impact it made on me. I remember the steaks and the cigars.
Yeah, well, we weren't really there to see strippers, so, no. I mean, it was out in the back.
They
I mean,
were there, but...
They were. It was cool. I liked it.
Yeah. And
it was...
I'd go back.
Oh, I would,
too. Steaks were good. Cigars were good.
I there's a place...
Next time I'd pay attention to the strippers, I guess. I don't know.
There's a place in Monrovia. Have you ever heard of Matt Denny's?
Uh-huh.
It's like an ale house, too, but, man, those guys make some rocking steaks there.
I love Matt Denny's.
Really good.
Food's good there.
I get script sometime for there, which is awesome.
I'm available anytime to go there.
Yeah.
Look, I need you to get past feeling guilty and focus on finding a solution.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
Well, you know what that means.
Means we're done bantering?
That means it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. This is really interesting. This thing is not coming up in front of this other thing.
Uh-oh.
Which is going to make it... Why? Oh, there we go. I was going to say, why is it...
Figure things out. Figure it out, Bruce.
Yeah, I was not sure what was going on. So we have shout-outs to... the myriad of people I had shout-outs to last time. I'll go through it quick. Bill, Fran, Elizabeth, John, Randy, Clarissa, James, Carl, Carol, Natalie, Sally, Dakota, Georgette, Jack, Alexandria, Terry, Lisa, Jane, Lee, Alan, somebody, Mark, Stryker, Dan, Joey, Tobin, Scully, and new follower Aaron.
Aaron. Aaron?
Aaron.
Aaron?
I wonder if he's ever seen that, because that's really, I think it's really funny. Okay, so this is from Bill Piper. Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper. Boy on scooter does $1 million of damage in Walmart.
Wow.
The wow is that there's $1 million worth of stuff in
Walmart. No kidding. In one Walmart?
This is in Barstow.
Wow.
12-year-old boy was riding one of those scooters that you push.
Mm-hmm.
Flying around inside the store,
mm-hmm.
and decided to flip a lit match into the arts and crafts section of the Walmart store.
You know, I was going to say, I think you have to burn the whole place down to do $1 million worth of damage.
Burst into flames, leading to losses of more than $1 million.
Okay.
The store in Barstow remains closed for a third day because of the damages. He was not with his parents. He'd set fire to it. On Wednesday afternoon, they tried to put it out with fire extinguishers, but failed because people didn't see it when it first started. So by the time they got on it, it was in a section with lots of paper and
cotton batting goes up fast.
Yes, all that stuff. Firefighters arrived and finally extinguished it, but serious damage was done by both the fire and the water.
Yes.
Because I know that the water can do a lot of damage.
I got to believe that the whole fabric section.
He was found on a street corner later that day, was arrested, taken to juvenile hall. So there you go.
It was an accident.
Now, this is interesting because when I was down in Oceanside, I was at this cigar place, and the guy said, "You can't smoke on the beach. It's not allowed now." He said, however, if you walk out like up to your knees in the water, you can. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah, really. So Jerry Brown, amazingly enough, a Jerry Brown veto allows Californians to smoke at state parks and beaches. So for the second time in 1 week, he rejected a bill that would have further restricted where Californians can smoke, which is interesting because... He brought a lot of this on in the first place.
Yeah, watch out for your city ordinances, though.
Yeah. He vetoed Senate Bill 1333 and by Senator Marty Black, a Democrat from San Diego, that would have prohibited smoking at state parks and beaches. He said that cigarettes are a frequent cause of wildfires and one of the most common types of trash found on the beach cleanup days. I get that.
Yep.
I think that people should be much more caring about what they do with their shiznits.
So, I'm sitting at a blackjack table yesterday.
But some cities have banned it. Los Angeles has banned it. San Francisco has banned it.
Yeah.
So, you're sitting where?
So, I'm sitting at a blackjack table yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do occasionally like to have a chew of tobacco.
Uh-huh.
So, it's after dinner. And I pop a pinch of Skoal in my lip and head to a blackjack table. I've got an empty water bottle in my hand to deposit into.
Yes.
I sit down. I go to take some money out of my pocket, and I set the empty bottle down on the table. The pit boss makes a beeline to me. You can't set that on the table. I'm like, it's an empty water bottle. He goes, you can't set that on the table.
Okay.
I look over, and there's a guy sitting, and he's got a water bottle with about an inch of water left in it. I said, he has an empty water bottle. He goes, you can't put that on the table. You have to keep it under the table or hold it, but you can't put it on the table.
Does he know you're going to spit in it?
Because I spit in it, and he says, you can't put that on the table. And I'm like, well, why don't you bring me a cup holder, and I'll put it in the cup holder. Nope, that can't be on the table. And there's a guy sitting at the other end of the table smoking a cigarette with an ashtray.
I was going to say, you can smoke at a table,
I said,
right?
So let me ask you a question. If you brought me an ashtray and I deposited the remains of my tobacco into it, as just as he's doing with his cigarette, would that be okay? I said, because I'm going to have a hard time spitting into the ashtray and keeping it in there, but I'll try.
What'd he say?
And he just looked at me. He says, That could be offensive to some people. I said, dude, cigarette smoke's offensive to me, but I don't say anything.
Yeah. You know?
But, yeah, so I was pretty...
Did you leave? See, no. I would have left. I would have said, you know what, my money's good at other casinos.
I didn't. I just, you know. It's fine. He obviously had a thing about, you know, chaw juice.
When I was in college, lots of guys in Oregon chewed. Lots of guys
chewed.
You were
in Oregon. Everybody chewed.
And... You know, there was a lot of like Henry Weinharts and stuff, which are brown and sometimes green bottles.
Yeah, don't ever drink somebody else's bottle.
Oh, my God. You got to really be careful because that's really flipping
Coca-Cola
disgusting.
Bottles.
Okay. Yeah. This came from both Fran and Bill.
Okay. The 1-2 punch.
What state do you think this might be from?
Florida.
Yes. Yes, it is. Miami, a Miami man found out his new bride is actually his biological granddaughter.
I saw that story.
3 months into their marriage, they got the surprise of their lives after discovering the bride was the groom's biological granddaughter. Florida Sun Post, the couple who's requested to remain anonymous... came to the discovery while looking through the 68-year-old's photo albums. Now, he's married to this 24-year-old girl. All props to him, except for it turned out to be his granddaughter. So he's looking through the photo albums, which include pictures of his first wife and their children. His 24-year-old wife instantly recognizes one of the children as her estranged father, who says she kicked her out of the house when she was a teenager after she accidentally gotten pregnant. So, yeah, he had left his first wife, had gone through a terrible split, and she left him. She took their kids, moved to an undisclosed location. Besides his many attempts to find them, he was never able to, and eventually he got remarried, started a new family with his second wife. Uh-huh. However, when that marriage ended, also messily, in a stroke of luck 2 years later, 68 year old ended up winning several $1 million in the lottery. Which
amazingly became attractive.
Which is amazingly enough, probably why the 24-year-old was hooked up with him. He signed up for a dating website and he came across his future wife's profile. He goes, "I just felt strange when I saw her photos. It was like a sense of deja vu, but at the time I couldn't figure out what seemed so familiar." Despite finally figuring it out,
yeah,
the couple have decided to stay together and have no plans of getting divorced because she wants the millions
several
of
million dollars.
Yes. Good Lord.
Perfect.
Okay, Neil sent this in and says, you know, chemicals involved? Yeah, probably. So where is this at? Exmouth. So I'm going to assume that this is in Britain somewhere. Police have identified a woman who is pictured performing a sex act with a dinosaur in Exmouth.
They're extinct.
Well,
it's not a real dinosaur.
There is a children's dinosaur sculpture.
Oh, okay.
And showing a woman, a photograph showing a woman naked from the waist down has made the run around social media because she is impaling herself
on Dino's tail.
The picture that I saw was censored, so I don't know what she was impaling herself on. But they said they're still continuing their investigation. The Exmouth police
Dino's
neighborhood.
Dino's triceratop.
never know. They've identified the woman in the photo who we will be speaking to. So far, no charges have been made. The model sculpture that was involved was a baby Tyrannosaurus Rex in an egg.
Oh.
So I don't know. It's currently located beneath the beacon and had already been damaged by vandals this month.
Oh.
One stunned parent told The Echo, which is probably the thing that originally reported this, "I worry as children play with these dinosaurs. I was disgusted. I feel sick to think that children are anywhere near that."
Children came out of that.
Yes. So the district council's cleansing team took swift action, deep cleaning the sculpture.
Strawberry and vinegar?
We are shocked and dismayed. Oh, my God. With the douche. We are shocked and dismayed. And they said, we've instructed our street scene team to clean the dinosaurs thoroughly using a strong disinfectant. We'd like to encourage people to continue to visit this wonderful attraction, but we would remind the public that dinosaurs are for looking at only and should not be touched or climbed upon.
Mommy, did dinosaurs come from fish?
Okay, Neil sent this. This is really sad, actually. Okay. My daughter told me about this recently. So I don't even need to look at the story, really, to talk about this. I can't remember where it's at. It's in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So a 7-year-old goes to school. You know, has her lunch, everything. Goes to school. Is all day at school. Gets back on the bus and go home. And mentions to the bus driver when she's getting near her stop that she was unable to wake her parents up.
Yeah. I heard the story.
And both of them were overdosed. And it was the second day, and she said they were starting to change a different color. And, you know, she's not the only kid there. Now, she dutifully got up, put on her clothes, made breakfast, like got cereal.
Got the siblings
for
out.
Her 5-year-old brother, her 3-year-old sister, and made a bottle for the 9-month-old that the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old are going to look after.
Yeah.
And goes to school.
Yeah.
When the police come, you know, they find that the two parents are dead. And the thing that's really
sad. And the kids seem fine.
Well, the kids were fine. They were taken to the hospital, but they were all fine. The 7-year-old asked the officer if he could sign her homework sheet to show that she had done her homework. So she came home, did her homework. I mean, dude, how sad is that?
Yeah.
And she did her homework, and the police officer said, you know, it was math homework, like which number is greater, which number is odd or even. Mm-hmm. And I told her, "Sweetie, you probably won't have to go to school tomorrow, but I'll sign it for you anyway." But don't worry, where you're going to go is going to have everything you need. And yeah, and it was talking about, you know, this is part of those, the like literal epidemic of stuff going on back there. There was the county that this happened in had 422 opioid overdose deaths last year.
Yeah.
And they are already way past that this year, and there's still 3 months to go. The other thing was, and I didn't save it, but there was a thing like right where Shelley is right now in Cincinnati, 172 overdose in 6 days.
Yeah.
In Cincinnati. So, you know what? If you're toying with heroin, I would really watch my shit right now.
Yeah. Four kids.
Yeah.
And
I should probably save that one for last, I think. Okay, from Florida.
Yes, sir.
This is from Fran. This chick was getting pulled over. And, you know, sometimes people like to try and stash their drugs.
Yes. In some of the most bizarre places.
Well, and that's what it looked like this gal was doing. But they didn't actually see her do it. But they were asking for her license, and she said she didn't have it. Now, it was a hit and run that was reported, so she's going to get arrested.
Yes.
And when they finally figured out who she was, she had an active warrant on top of the, you know, hit and run. So they took her to jail, and she told medical staff that she had taken her ID card and put it up inside her vagina.
Oh.
They
pleased to meet you.
Yeah. And that's what the record show. Now, she was eventually released on bond, and apparently upon exiting the slammer, like out in the regular facility, exposed her private parts before peeing on the ground to get her thing back, and was rearrested
for indecency.
So there you go. Now, this is from Neil, and it's really long, but I'm not going to make it really long. So that's the 7-year-old. We don't want that. Okay, here's what we want. A student teacher was involved in some sex with her boyfriend, Richard Hartley Parkinson. So a student teacher got a vibrator stuck up in her backside during sex with her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
According to reports from Emma Phillips, the hospital staff where she had the vibrator removed, she had gotten it stuck up her backside during sex. She was a mother of one. Her name is Emma Phillips. She's from Merseyside, Wallasey Merseyside. So okay. I'm thinking that's probably in England. I don't know.
Maybe.
First thought that her boyfriend had hidden the vibrator under a pillow as a prank. How she didn't realize that something was vibrating up inside her butt is a little strange.
He's impressive.
But when she pressed down on her stomach, she felt a buzzing inside her.
Oh.
They tried to remove it, first with a fork handle. Fortunately, it was the handle. And then with a set of barbecue prongs.
Oh.
But all efforts failed after about 2 hours of trying this. She was rushed to the hospital, had the sex toy taken out. And now Emma wants to warn people not to be afraid of getting help in embarrassing situations.
Oh, good. Public service.
Yes. Her quote was, "For a while, Lee was suggesting all kinds of wonderful options. We tried a kitchen fork handle, which we will not be using that again, and said he could feel it at one point, but it was too far up. It was a goner. He tried barbecue prongs, too. But after a certain point, after about an hour of trying, we knew we were going to have to go to the hospital." So she just wants to make sure that if you leave a vibrator up your ass,
that you know there's help available.
Don't be shy. Yeah, and the hospital says, oh, she says, Lee has not been scarred by the experience. He just thinks it's funny. I think he should have one up his bum for a while and take one for the team.
She has a good sense of humor about this.
And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
What a rush.
Hey, everyone. It's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips. They've got regular chips. They've got medallions. They've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsored people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
Recovery 101 Radio is a program based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more like going to coffee afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
We're back.
We are.
What's shaking bacon?
Well, you know, just hanging out.
We have a topic.
We do.
For the man show.
That's right. Life outside the program.
Which we can experience now that we're clean and sober.
With some time.
With some time. I think even without some time, well, you know, when you're new, I remember clearly people saying weird things to me when I was rather new around the program. It's like, stuff I hadn't done in a long time. They're like, let's go to the movies. And, dude, I hadn't been in the movies in, like, forever.
Yeah.
Because that was
who had
time away from getting loaded.
Yeah.
Or they'd say, let's go bowling, or let's go to the beach, or let's do that. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
You guys are going to go do something?
Yeah.
Wow. So how would you like to approach it?
Just along those lines. I mean, when I got to the rooms, all I wanted to do was not die.
Yes, agreed. Me too.
And which is still all I want to do is not die. But as I've been here, what I've learned is I learned the 12 steps. And then after that, what I learned is most normal people's lives incorporate normal things that we had to learn by learning the steps.
Right.
You know, like, I've observed that when a normal person does something wrong to somebody else, they usually look at them immediately and say, I am really sorry.
Yeah, I apologize.
I apologize.
They don't need to do a ninth step.
We had to learn to do that and not turn around and justify why it was everybody else's fault.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
We had to learn not to flip the script and have to change the story and the narrative on everything to make ourselves look good and everybody around us look bad.
Right.
Those are things normal people just do, as I've observed over the years.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is I am a horrific, and I know this about myself, I am a horrific person to argue with. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because I almost never tend to argue about things that I'm not pretty effing sure I'm right, because I don't want to look like an idiot. And people go, you know, you always have to be right. I'm like, it's not that I always have to be right. I just choose to argue about things that I'm pretty damn sure about. Because if I'm not sure about it, why would I argue? Yeah. You know, it's like, why would I?
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to tell my stepsons from my previous marriage. I'd say, look, I'm not like you. I'm not a gigantic gambling guy. I mean, I like to go play machines and stuff every once in a while, but I'm just not a giant gambler. And I told my stepsons, I said, if I tell you, do you want to bet on that? That means I'm 1,000% sure that I'm right.
No is the answer to that.
Yeah, because I don't throw bets like that.
No, you don't. So
I don't. I don't really bet on sporting events because, you know,
I'm
not a good
unsure.
Handicapper.
Yeah.
But I don't usually do that. So, you know, it's funny because because of that, I never have to make amends for an argument because I don't usually need to grill on somebody.
Right.
But I find that what you're saying is exactly the truth. Like, normal people do normal things.
Yeah.
And we're not normal. We're trying to get back to be a normal, productive member of society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember I'd see someone do something to someone and they'd be, you know, oh, sorry, man. I really didn't mean that. Or I said that to you. I really didn't mean it. And I'd be like, wow, what a concept that is.
Yeah.
It's like that guy's not even in the program. He did a ninth step.
Yeah. And so, you know, so
or
we have
10th step.
Yeah.
Really.
We have time in the rooms and we've worked the steps. And we've worked the steps, and we've incorporated the steps on a daily basis into our lives to the point where we live them.
Right.
Which means that I can go do what I always wanted to do, which is live a somewhat normal life.
Right.
Outside of the rooms. I don't have to be in meetings. I mean, there's a reason to be in meetings, and there's a reason to be in meetings a lot early. And there's a reason to be in meetings to stay in touch with what's going on, sometimes as a learning tool and sometimes just as a reminder.
Right.
But there's also a life outside the rooms, and there's people that I see in the rooms who don't seem to have a life outside the rooms.
Right.
And, you know, and if that's their thing, fine, but man, what'd you do this for? Because this was a lot of hard work.
Right.
You know, we worked hard to get here.
Yes.
Why? To go to 3 meetings a day still?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I kind of see where you're going with that. Because you know what? There are those I've seen, and I don't fault them for it, you know.
No,
because
I don't,
some people got to do what they got to do. I've seen people that will, you know, like guys with a lot of time that are retired.
Yeah.
You know, you go over by the Alano Club and they're at the morning meeting, they're at the noon meeting, they're at one of the evening meetings. It's like they're 3 times a day every day. You know, these guys are doing, you know, 90 meetings in 30 days.
Yeah. But why are they doing it? They're doing it because that's the only place they have friends left.
Well, yeah, which is
probably
fine. True.
But I mean, I'm looking at people in their, you know, mid to late 30s carrying around, you know, 8-10 years of sobriety, not as many as there used to be. And it's almost like they have a fear of being out in the world.
Well, it's true.
Yes.
I'm smoking this other cigar and I'm looking
We finished our Cuban cigars.
I'm looking at that Cuban thinking, wow, that was much better than what I have in my hand right now. Well, you know, the thing is, I remember, and I wasn't like new. I had probably 5 or 6 years. And I was really impressed by, there was these guys that would go fishing all the time. Like, and they'd go down, you know, fishing off the coast.
Uh-huh.
And these guys were like constantly going fishing. I used to say, God, I wish I could get to that. And, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. When I go have hookah, if I smoke hookah and have a latte and a flatbread, I could have gone half day fishing for the price of that.
Yep.
I mean, I could go fishing every week if I wanted to.
Yep.
And still go do hookah and stuff, you know, 5 or 6 nights a week.
Yeah.
And I probably should. You know, it's like I probably should do stuff like that. And I could do stuff like
I'm
that.
I'm in.
Well, and we've got a lot of things. We've got a lot of stuff where, you know, like I've got outside entrance. You know, we've got Terminally Unique Apparel. We do shirts on the outside. You know, we and some of these are, you know, the shirts are program related.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to a function out in Hollywood.
Yeah.
On Halloween, mm-hmm. and we're going to do this show there, which is, you know, recovery related,
right?
With recovery related people, but there's going to be a right. ton of people there that aren't recovery related, and it's just going to be a fun event,
sure,
you know. And you know, I kind of feel sorry for well, I don't feel sorry for them because anyone that's going to meetings, you know, if you're going to a meeting on Halloween, you probably need a meeting on Halloween, you might be new, you should be going to as many meetings as you can because yeah. you know, we're sort of talking about. Once you kind of get this thing, you know, the other things you can do with your life that you really don't have the liberty to do when you're new.
Yeah.
You know, when I was new, I didn't do anything right. You know, I was lucky to get my ass into meetings. And it's like, if I had spent all my time trying to figure out what I could do outside of meetings, that would have been a bad thing.
Yeah.
And it had been a bad thing on numerous occasions.
Yeah. And for me, it was just... When I was new, I did things that I look back today and I go, what was I thinking?
Right.
How did my sponsor let me get away with this?
Oh, give me an example.
I took a 3-day booze cruise down to Ensenada with my 60-day chip in pocket.
Yeah, that's a rough one right there. I went on a booze cruise too, but I had like 2 years.
I had 60 days. Between 60 and 90.
Do you ever, I mean, you've been on some cruises. You ever go to a meeting on a cruise ship?
Funny thing, no, not looking for a meeting, but yes, they're findable, and you'll hear the announcement, you know, all friends of Bill well, W., please meet at the
I look
Lido
on
deck.
This thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's got all the different events, and, you know, you can go yeah. here at this time, you go here at this time, and I see this yeah. thing, it says friends of Bill W. Mm-hmm. I go walk in. I find where that room is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a seat. Nobody there.
Yep.
I'm sitting around. Guy walks in. Oh, shit. I'm really happy you're here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you run this all the time? I go, I don't run it at all.
Yep.
I'm just coming for a meeting. The guy goes, I really need to talk to someone. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess this happened exactly the way it was supposed to. And you know what the guy had said? He had been on some, I don't know where he started at, but I think he started in like the Caribbean somewhere. And the thing went down, it went to Cozumel and it went to Cancun and then it went down and came through the Panama Canal because I got on in San Diego. And he goes, this is the first time I walked in here where there was someone here. I said, well, there you have it. I said, I'll probably be here tomorrow too.
Yeah.
And I went there the next day. He didn't show up.
But, you know. But you were there.
But I was there.
You were gathered with yourself.
We're one or more is gathered.
That's right.
But you know, yeah. that's an example too. You know, yeah. you go on cruises, you go on this, you go on that. You know, yeah. I went to with my friend to Tombstone, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is I'm really glad he made me do that because he goes, hey, dude, let's go to Tombstone. And I'm like, I got too much to do. And he goes, dude, quit saying you have too much to do. Let's just go.
Yeah.
And so what I told him is, I'm going to take Shelly either the end of this month or beginning of next month. I'm going to take her out to Death Valley because she loves Death Valley.
Uh-huh.
I've never been. It's not that far.
I just drove past it.
I'm going to go, you know, because I've been making excuses not to go. And you know what? I don't really have any excuses not to go do stuff like that.
A little Calico Ghost Town action.
I've been to Calico a few times sober, actually. I love Calico. The kids loved Calico.
You know, I mean...
See, and Elliot's getting older. You know, Elliot's right. 3. By the time Elliot's about 5, Elliot's probably going to go fishing with me, and I'll take Elliot to... It'll be better when he's more like 6 or 7, because I'll take him to Calico Ghost Town and all that. He'll be digging that.
Yeah. You know, And that's some of the fun stuff. I mean, we've got families, we've got kids, and we get to do fun stuff with our kids.
Yes.
Not program related, not, you know, it's like, you know, I don't have to find an AA picnic.
We did stuff with our kids together Your daughter worked for
K1 Racing.
K1 Racing. When I went out there in these badass go-kart type things, race like hell. Your daughter was the fastest. My daughter was the second fastest. Yeah. We look lame by comparison. Looked
horrid. Yeah, but they were all fast. But, you know, my daughter was fastest because she worked there. I mean, she had driven those cars a time or 12.
But, I was in cowboy boots. I did absolutely the wrong shoes to wear to go go-kart racing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny because my daughter liked that so much that, and I unfortunately didn't go with them for this, and I probably should have, but my daughter and her husband went to the NASCAR experience.
Did the Richard Petty experience?
NASCAR at Irwindale.
Uh-huh.
And Joe's like, dude, he goes, I was going 180 miles an hour. And I'm like, wow, really? I've never gone that fast. I go 180. He goes, dude, Courtney passed me like I wasn't moving. And I'm like, really? And he goes, dude. And Courtney's like, oh, yeah. You know, the guy that ran the track asked me if I ever thought about racing. He goes, I don't get very many people that go over 200. And he goes, you know, she's hitting, you know, 210, 220. And you know, so she goes by Joe at 30 miles an hour faster than he's going. And Joe's like, I'm at my limit. He goes, man, I am freaking out.
Yeah.
And Courtney's like, oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. So she got no fear. But you know what? It's like stuff like that, you know. We're able to do stuff. There'd be people listening to this show going, really? How do you get to that point where you're able to just, you know, think about doing other stuff other than just trying to stay sober? And I think it's that point you come to where I'm not trying to stay sober anymore. I mean, I don't have to try to stay sober. Drinking and using is not an option that even comes to mind at all for any situation.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting because there's a line that's used by a lot of people I've been around. And I think when people who are younger in the rooms hear it, they think that that's just like a line.
It's just a line.
Yeah. Being clean and sober and working this program has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. And I think they think that's just a line that we're like borrowing out of, because somebody said it 50 years ago and it sounds
cool. It's so true, though.
Yeah, it's true.
And it does. And the thing is, and I think why they're freaked out about it is, you know, they're thinking, well, oh, my wildest dreams, I'm going to live in Tahiti. And this. But the thing is, you and I are like the same way.
Yeah.
I got sober not because I was looking for a white picket fence and a big house. I got sober so I wouldn't die.
Yeah.
I was homeless. I got sober so I wouldn't die. I mean, it's like all I wanted was to not die of an overdose, man. That's all I wanted.
Let me ask you a question. Do you recall this thought going through your head? Get it? Well, you were out there. This is interesting. I wonder if I'm going to come out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know?
In a lot of different ways, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was at a house in Washington to meet people I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
The guy I went with, Tom, didn't even really know him. We're just going to, and we're going to buy a bunch of cocaine from these guys we don't even really know.
Uh-huh.
And somebody in the back room gets shot. We hear bam. Then we hear bam, bam, bam. Then we hear a window breaking. And we have jumped over the back of the couch. We have no idea what's going on. I am thinking to myself, I'm going to die for sure. Because I don't even know these guys. They're going to think we set this up or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like that. I remember clearly overdosing in a hotel room. And thinking to myself, planning how not to die. I'm like, I'm grand mal seizuring. I'm like, I'm going to hit my head off the toilet or something. Like, got down on the floor, and I'm shaking like this, and I'm trying to not whack my head off the wall or off the toilet or off the sink, and I'm thinking, this might be it. This might be it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is interesting.
Yeah, this is not what I had anticipated was going to happen here.
Yeah. But the thought of, I should never do this again, wasn't part of that thought equation.
No. Matter of fact, when I came out of that, I'm looking to see what I have left.
Yeah.
You know, like the dumbest of
how
the
do I
dumb
load
it?
How do I load another one just like that one?
I can't even tell. You know, you'll remember. Uh-huh. I used to tell that story in my pitch.
Oh, yeah.
This dude came up to me after a meeting one time. He goes, bro, you can't tell that story the way you told it because, man, I am like. He goes, and even though you're talking about how horrible it was, he goes, mm-hmm. dude, he goes, I'm jittery right now. I'm like, well, great. You can come to coffee with us.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go to coffee with you guys because seriously, yeah. it freaked me out. And I'm like, he goes, because I remember that feeling. But remembering that feeling and feeling how horrible it was, mm-hmm. just remembering that feeling was just too close to reality for me.
Good. Like, oh, good. You needed a reality check.
I guess, yes.
Because your story in the hospital is one of the best stories I've ever heard in the rooms.
Yeah.
I love that story.
I shouldn't tell that one on the air either.
I love that story. I'm going to tell that story at your funeral.
And it's like the dumbest. It's like the dumbest of the dumb things. You know, the things that we, you know, it's kind of like along with what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The things that we have that we didn't think we would have or that we weren't really trying to have. We were just trying not to die.
Uh-huh.
I look back on any number of things I did when I was getting loaded. And I'm like, could I have been any stupider?
No.
You know, frying on mushroom on acid, actually, it was acid.
Yeah.
On
a roof.
The roof.
Yeah.
And then walking around looking at the clouds.
Yeah.
And falling off the two-story roof. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm thinking that was a great idea then. I look back at it now, I'm like, this is what always worried me about my kids. I'm like, because, you know, they're cut from my cloth, and I'm not always the smartest guy when I'm drug-induced, as yeah. no one really is.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you know, we, in the 70s, late 70s.
Late 70s, yeah.
Early 80s. Being up for two, three straight days was no big deal. And we drove from one place to the next.
Oh, yeah. And
higher than a kite.
And I always hear people talk about, you know, they start seeing things after 2 days.
I did.
It's like, I'd be driving down the street and suddenly I'd swerve and my buddy be like, dude, what was that for? And I'm like, you didn't see that? And he's like, no, there was nothing there. And I'm like, okay, better safe than sorry. He's like, dude, you're going to get us pulled over because you're pulling out of the lane and shit.
Oh, I...
He's like, I've only been up one day. Let me drive.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm driving back from Santa Monica. I'm on the end of a three-day run, and I swear to God, I almost hit a Model T on the 60 freeway.
A Model T?
Yeah.
Well, because there's so many of those.
At 11 o'clock at night.
Wow. I got to be honest. I don't think the Model T is the kind of thing I would even drive at late at night.
Yeah, there was no car.
Yeah.
But I almost hit one.
Pretty sure there was a Model T.
I almost hit one. Yeah, I swerved across three lanes to avoid it.
I was, I went out to Westwood. My buddy Tom used to live in Westwood, and I got a bunch of Coke from him. And I decided that it would be a great idea to do some before I drove home because I was
sure.
fiending, right?
Yeah.
So I went to some sprinkler system that was on and got some water out of it, and I make myself up a dose. And I am in a car that has all my belongings in it. My driver's seat is pushed up as close to the steering wheel as it can be. And I'm a fairly tall guy. So I'm just like really crunched in there. My arms are bent. And I slam myself. And the first thing I think is I thought I missed. I'm like, oh, my God. Because I've gotten back in the position to drive because, you know, if a cop walks by I want to look like I'm getting ready to drive. And what I had done is I had scrunched my arms up again against me. And I said, and he was like right next to the freeway on ramp. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. I had a car that was one of those cars.
Yeah.
Not a great car. No turn signal. So I'm like, I want to be legal.
Uh-huh.
So I am going to signal my intention to turn. I am pulling onto the freeway and I stretch my arm out to the side.
Oh, Jesus.
And I get whammed. I'm like, oh, fuck. And I immediately pull over to the side. And the whole time I'm freaking because I just did this big slam of cocaine. And I'm like, I'm trying to be legal and all this. And I go, now I'm on the side of the road, which is not really legal. You know, I look like a vehicle in distress. The yeah. first cop that comes by is going to stop.
Yes.
And I am rushing hard. I'm like, and you know, and I look back at stuff like that. I'm like, why would you slam and immediately jump on the freeway?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? You know, why don't you do what you always did, which is
go to a
Denny's
or
something, or go to a Denny's and go into their bathroom in the bathroom stall, you know? But, you know, I'm dumb. I'm stupid.
Or go to the Royal whatever, like we always did, and go hang out in, you know, room 216. And
I couldn't do that. And I think it's because I am 100% sure I spent every dime I had at buying cocaine. Because I never seemed to buy cocaine where I had like a lot of money left over. I usually had as much money as I needed to go and get what I wanted. I did that constantly. So, Mark, what would your final words on outside of the program be?
I came here and I stayed here. And by doing so, I learned to live a somewhat normal life, which is all I ever wanted anyway.
Right. Yeah, I think to coin a phrase, I came here not to die. So I have a life beyond my wildest dreams, because everything I have is stuff I didn't expect to have. So we have friends back east and in the Inland Empire. That is 12stepgazette.com. That is also step12magazine.com.
Yes.
You guys should check those out. We've been working with both those guys for a long time. Very cool publications. If you contact them and ask them to send you some copies, they probably will, especially the Inland Empire version, the 12stepmagazine.com. Step 12 Magazine. Ah. Mark, we have a cool-ass sponsor.
My 12-Step Store, which is also online at my12stepstore.com.
.com.
But they have a cool store also out in West Hollywood.
They do.
We're going.
Yes, you're going to see
it. For Halloween.
It's not a big show store, but it's got a ton of crap in it.
Yeah, show up. We're going to be there Halloween. Bruce will be signing autographs.
On checks.
But anyway, you go up online, go to their online store, or go to their brick and mortar store. But
I've never been asked for an autograph.
You haven't?
No.
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I never have.
Yeah. You know why?
Why?
Because 15 years ago, there's a guy who's an announcer for the Dodgers now. He used to be an announcer for ESPN named Charlie Steiner. And 15 years ago, I looked just like him.
Really?
Yeah.
I should go to the NAMM show.
Yeah,
and carry a guitar case. I'll get asked for Eddie's autograph.
And I actually had a guy standing at the urinals at a hotel in Vegas because the ESPYs were in town.
He didn't ask you to sign his dick, did he?
No, he didn't, but he Charlie! Charlie, I got to get your autograph. I'm like, do not turn to your right.
Did you sign it for him?
Yeah.
We had a guy that came in my store one time. This guy not only looked like Snoop Dogg, but he was obviously trying to look like Snoop Dogg. And I told him, I'm like, do you sign autographs? He goes, all the time.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, I get great seats in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, and his name was like George or something. It's like, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to call you George.
Yeah.
And, you know, a customer walked in, oh, my God, it's Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg shops at Dreamland Mattress. I'm like, yeah, he does.
Did you ever do that thing 20 years ago or 20, 25 years ago that was going around? Where, like, you'd walk into a restaurant and they have a list, so they ask you for your name, and you give the last name of, like, some really famous person.
I've never done it, but that's an awesome idea.
Yeah. 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 How many people? Four? Named Redford? They write it. Let's see. Redford, Clooney. Party of Four.
Clooney.
Yeah. Redford, Party of Four. You see heads start to turn, you know, as you're.
That'd be awesome.
It's fun.
You do it with the people that are hot right now. You go, Fallon.
Yeah.
Fallon, Party of Four?
Yeah.
Awesome. So anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, but go buy all your stuff at the 12-step store.
Go right into, we have, because I don't want to talk for like the last 5 minutes. So we have people that listen to the show.
We do, and we really appreciate that. And anyway, you listen, please go up onto our site at, what's our site? No, recovery101.net.
Wow.
Go over to recovery101.net, and once you get up on there, I'm sure you're all members already. But if you're not yet a member, join. You can like shows. You can follow shows. Following shows is really cool, and we really appreciate those who go up every day. And on the right-hand side of the main page, it says become a follower, and you click that, and it says you're a follower. That's how hard that is to do. As soon as you click it, it says you're a follower.
Yeah.
Follow every day. Follow every time you listen.
Follow recovery.
But anyway,
show.
You can like, comment. If you're going to comment, please leave comments in the newest show that's up so we see them easily. But you can go back and listen to old shows. And please add us to your playlists, because you never know when the big one could hit, and you should have some of our shows on your playlist to help get you through.
Absolutely. If you are Facebook friendly, I was going to mention too, we're also on iTunes and all that as well, but it's better for us if you can do it at recovery101.net. There is a podcast app for your phone, either Android or Mac, or Apple, that you can get there as well, so you can take it wherever you want and listen. If you are Facebook friendly, you can join really fast and easy there. You just click log in with Facebook. If you are currently logged in with Facebook, boom, you're already done. Otherwise, if you're not currently logged in with Facebook, it'll just ask you for your Facebook login. They're not going to spam you at Facebook. I've never been spammed anything. They will send you an email to let you know that a new show is up. If you are Facebook friendly, it's really easy to like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, as thousands of others have done. If you'd like to join the Recovery 101 secret group, which is a secret, because that's kind of hard to find, because it's a secret. Yeah. So if you message Shelley Burnett or Bruce Burnett or Bill Piper, or you ask at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, we will add you to that group, and you can interface with a number of people that you hear about on the show, people that send us boozy news and things like that. On the topic of that, if you want to send us boozy news, we will probably use it. I mean, we use boozy news from listeners all the time.
We do.
You can send that to recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can also send us an email to recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you are a musician or a comedian and you are not a mime, because mime doesn't work well on radio.
Shh.
Yeah, shh. But if, you know, the whole I'm walking up to a glass wall, it just doesn't translate to radio. But if you have some MP3s as the preferred format, send us some music that you and your band do. We'll take it from bands that have at least one sober person in. Or you can send us comedy routine or whatever you'd like. We'll use it as lead out material at the end of the show, like we're going to have tonight. And you can send us those MP3s, send us a picture you would like us to turn into a clickable link, and then where you want that link to go, whether it's somewhere where you sell your stuff, you know, SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you want it to go, and we will do that for free.
And fun.
Yes, we will. We have videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly do not. Mark?
Yes.
Who's the lead out music by?
Rusty Golden.
Rusty Golden. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We are out.
And take care of you.
Things I did because I didn't know about this life. I'm living right now, and it's all crystal clear. It took where I was going to finally get me here. I've been found, ooh, and set straight on my way. And now I thank the good Lord I'm not gonna sweat the little things.
Stop doing what I shouldn't win.